All right. Hello, everybody. Y'all come on in. Let me get my windows set up so that I can see the Q&A. I can see the chat. So y'all say hello when you get here, when you get hers. And I'm going to promote Coach Misha up. She's going to be up here on stage with me, answering questions, all the things. Hello, Carissa. Good morning, Miss Cindy. Hope you're doing well. Hope you have a happy Thanksgiving. All right. Today, let me get my notes up. Y'all, I swear to God, I'm getting like the worst vision. I just zoom in 3 times on my notes. I was like, man, I'm barely seeing them today. So I'm going to take the advice of some of you, and I am going to the eye doctor and going to ask for a set of glasses that I just wear all the time that just have only the reading part in there, because I have those, what do you call them, progressives, I guess, where you can use them for distance and close up and whatnot. Anyway, they change, and this is the second year running that when they've done that, I feel like I do this all the time, or I'm trying to like read, like I'm having to move my eyes down. I guess when they put the progressives in, the way that I look at things, he always has me look straight on, and but I'm most of the time working with my head down, so then my eyes are looking through like the wrong part. So anyway, not to bore y'all with some shit. But that is my shit right now that I'm dealing with my eyes. All right, so today we're gonna be talking about handling your three biggest holiday eating obstacles. We're kind of closing out. We're gonna still be talking next month about the holiday, so don't worry. In the Q&A, in Facebook, in Ask Coaches, you can ask all your holiday questions. You can like, you know, it is just because we are not gonna be we're gonna be shifting our focus to the hero of your story. It doesn't mean we can't keep talking about it, because I know the holidays continue on. So do body comments. So do all the things. So one of the things that I wanted to talk to y'all about today is kind of like a little bit of a bonus obstacle is body comments. And I was watching a video this morning, and I was trying to download it so I could show y'all, but I couldn't figure out an Instagram how to download it. And it was literally someone who was like at a dinner or at a thing, and people just kind of kept asking her questions about, like, you know, you look thinner this year. What have you done? And I will tell you, if that is exciting for you, like, I don't want to like rain on your parade. But for some of us, when people talk about our body in the positive or the negative, it doesn't feel great. So, and let me give you some good examples. There are some of you who, when people comment on your body, it just doesn't even feel safe. You know, maybe in the past, when this can happen several ways. Number one, it can be maybe you were abused in the past. Like there was some type of abuse, there was some type of taking advantage of your body. And when people notice you now, it really brings up anxiety, and it should. It brings up that part of you that feels like their safety is threatened. So there's a small subset of us that is a thing. And then there are some of us that our bodies were commented on during a period when we were losing weight in a way that was anything but healthy. We were glorified for, you know, like if you had any type of disordered eating past, or maybe you were on a diet where it was just killing you, but you were getting positive body comments. Now, when you hear them, even if you're not doing an extreme diet, your body still remembers that moment where people were basically accolading you and celebrating you for being unhealthy. And that can sometimes cause us to feel super uncomfortable, super nervous. Or like if you back in the day, if you knew you were losing weight unhealthily, you were worried that you would be exposed, people would find out. That part of you will now have a triggered response. Just because you're not doing it that way anymore doesn't mean that there's not a part of you that got conditioned to feel like positive comments were threatening. And then there's just some of us who, like, I had a friend the other day, a good friend, and like she had not seen me in, I don't know, 3 years. I think it's been like 3 years. And I'm a little bit smaller than I was. Not like, I mean, I'm just usually in the summer, I get up to about 160. And I haven't like just not been partying like I used to. Like when we go to Vegas, I don't plan to gain weight anymore because we pretty much go to the pool, we have a couple of drinks, and we go to bed at night. We're not like drinking all day, drinking all night. We don't really go out to eat anymore. Like for us, when we go to Vegas now, the fun is literally just spending time together away from work and our daily routine. So we used to go there and we used to eat a lot and we used to do things. So my weight would fluctuate a lot. Well, this summer, we just kind of go and we just relax. We talk all day. We have a couple of drinks and our asses are in bed by 7. Like, we are the people who are not gambling at night. We are not going out to fancy dinners. We don't do the shows. We don't do shit while we're in Vegas. That's why when y'all ask me questions like, what should we do? I'm like, I don't even fucking know, because it's been a minute since Chris and I did anything other than go to the Maria pool at MGM. I can tell you two places to go, Maria, and I can tell you to go to Veranda, which is where we go eat brunch, and you could order room service. Because we happen to stay at the Four Seasons, which is at the top of Mandalay Bay. Chris won't stay nowhere else. He's kind of a bougie bitch, but he stays there. And so that means I'm staying with him. And like, that's it. That's all we do. We don't spend money on gambling anymore. We don't spend money on the restaurants. We don't spend money on the shows. We just want a good sleep in bed. So I say all that because she hadn't seen me in a while. And when she saw me, she was like, oh my God, you look so good. What have you been doing? And I will be honest, I felt a little triggered and threatened by it. Like, I wasn't just like, well, let me tell you. It was like, the only thing I could say is, I don't know. I've just been doing what I always do. I've been taking care of myself. That's it. Like, listening to my inner chatter. That's really all I've been doing. And then over the course of a few years, you know, I'm not gaining the summer weight that I normally do. And then like, I've just been lifting really heavy. So I've just kind of changed. So I say all this because all of you there are going to be all kinds of comments. And I would love for all of you to be spending some time thinking about stuff you want to say, or you don't want to say, or what you want to do. So some helpful things are, if someone like talks about your body, you can always just say, hey, I don't really enjoy talking about my body. And then immediately ask them, like, how are your kids? Or whatever. Or even if you don't even say, I don't enjoy talking about it, you can just say, you know, it's not that big a deal, but how are your kids? Like, change the topic. If somebody comments on what you're eating, because you know we do it different here at No BS, you could just say, hey, I've got this under control. You could say, I'm working with a new health coach. And like, if you don't feel comfortable saying certain things, just say like, I'm working with a new health coach. She's lost 100 pounds. And she says, this is what I should do today. You could always put it on me. Because you are working with a health coach. You're working with me. Because I work with your mental health. You don't have to like, I don't have to be a doctor or anything, but we work on your emotional health. We work on your mental health. We work on your physical health. We work on all of that stuff. So just tell them that you're working with a new health coach. You've already talked about this. Like, and we're talking about it now. If you've listened to any of my videos, that counts as talking. And you just tell them like, this is what she said I should do. And then you change the subject again. Some of you may just want to say, if you're brave enough, you may just want to tell people, I don't discuss that. And you don't have to be a bitch. You don't have to be anything, but you want to make sure that for all of you, think about what we tend to do is we tend to go into holiday situations, worried we're going to get triggered, and then we get triggered. You need to go into holiday situations knowing that the things that are likely to trigger you, and have a plan for it, for what you're going to say and how you are going to be with yourself in that moment. That's where the magic happens, because here's what we can't do. You cannot spend this week or the whole month wishing, hoping, and praying that people change, that they don't do things, that they stop saying stuff. That ain't a plan. That is not a strategy. That does nothing but take all the power away from you and put it into someone else's hands who probably stinks at it. Because let me tell you, whatever it is they're saying, they have a really good reason for saying it, and it has nothing to do with you. So all of you need to check that ego out the door. So many of you spend a lot of time thinking that people just want to hurt you, or that this is all about you. It has nothing to do with you. If you have a parent who comments on your weight or comments on your food or says mean things, they're not saying that to get you riled up. They're not saying that for any reason other than their brain is used to saying it, and that completes the loop. That is the conversation that makes them comfortable. That is what they know. And when I think about it like that, because I'm like a grandmother, she always comments on my weight. This is my dad's mother. Like, even Logan called her. Logan is the sacrificial lamb of the family. He calls Betty Lou all the time. Logan does not, like, he is the most loving, caring, compassionate little dude you're ever going to meet. You know, like, most of us don't want to talk to Betty Lou because she triggers us. You know, you just never know what the fuck's going to come out of her mouth. So Logan calls her the other day. And instead of asking, like, she asked about me. And this is what she says. Has your mama gained her weight back? Rather than how is your mother doing, she wanted to know, had I gained my weight back? Was I still thin? Now, a lot of us would automatically think, bitch, all this other stuff. But who doesn't know any other question to ask? That's the question she's been asking since I was like 9. It completes the loop. It's a habit. It's an automatic thing. In her mind, that's like saying, I care about you and I'm interested in you. Because in her mind, she's very interested in weight. If I talk to her, once we get past the how much do you weigh part of the conversation, guess what we immediately go into? What are your thoughts on Weight Watchers? Because at 80, I'm 50. And she was 32, at 82 years old. My grandmother is still very worried about her figure. She still wants to lose weight so she can look good. It's consuming to her. And so when I try to put my mind, like my brain, into that shoe, guess who feels 1,000% better? Guess who's no longer triggered? Guess who doesn't feel threatened? Guess who's not angry? Guess who isn't sad, feeling unloved? Me. I am the beneficiary of changing how I think about how someone automatically acts. And that's what I'm going to challenge all of you to do. Now, that does not mean that when you walk in that room, that you won't feel the trigger at first. But there are plenty of places to pause yourself so that you don't end up at the end of the day eating your face off and feeling really bad. So if someone says something, have a prepared comeback. It is not like you're not going to be around people who don't say the same tired ass shit every single year or act the same tired ass way. So there's no being shocked. Like if you act shocked, or if you're like, if you tell me, I'm just so surprised. It's like, well, let's tell the truth. Are we really surprised mama said that? I mean, you're 50 something fucking years old. How many years has she talked like that? So let's not lie to ourselves and act like we're surprised. If we're surprised, it's because we went into the situation thinking Maybe this time will be different. When there's no reason for it to be different. We set ourselves up to be shocked in the moment. So don't be shocked. This is the other thing. Like, you want to not be disappointed in people. I'm never disappointed in my grandmother anymore. You know why? I expect it and I know what to say. So the first thing that you can do is just when you hear the words, if you're prepared for them, you're less likely to have the same feelings you've had in the past. You might be momentarily disappointed. You might be momentarily shocked. You might be momentarily hurt, whatever that is. But if your response and your mindset shifts because you're prepared, that moment of sadness, hopelessness, anger, whatever it is like this big. It's not a full day. It only keeps hurting when you keep thinking, this sucks, they shouldn't have said that, or maybe they're right, or I hate being here, or they hurt my feelings. Nothing ever changes. When that's the story that you run, you are no better than they are. They're saying what they always say, and internally, you have decided to be just like them. When these things happen, I'm automatically going to think these things, and I'm not changing. I refuse to change how I feel. I'm just going to sit here and feel terrible. I'm just going to let how it always has been, let it continue. Because our goal is not to get everybody to talk differently to us in order to lose weight. That is the hardest way to lose weight. In fact, I would call it the impossible way to lose weight. The easiest way to lose weight is to change how you interpret everything for your own sake and your own benefit. It's for you to hear those things. So we hear somebody's words. We don't like them, but we do know they're coming. So we're going to be better prepared. So then the moment we can calm ourselves down internally, no one has to see it. We have something that we can say that we going into it is easy, doable, and we are comfortable with. You do not have to take a stand. Only if you feel like you are like, I'm ready to lead the body positivity revolution. I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to hold the flag for everyone. And I'm going to like re-educate this family. If that's what you really want to do and you feel comfortable with it, then do that. If that's not, you don't need to be ashamed of it at all. It's not your job to educate everybody. It's not your job to do all that. There's a thousand ways we can impact the world. We don't have to do it this Thanksgiving. Especially if you're not ready for that. All you really need to do is you just need to sit there and tell yourself, I'm disappointed that we live in a world where people still feel free to make comments on other people's food and whatnot. You could say that out loud, or you could just say that internally, because that's better than thinking, they don't love me. They must think I'm fat. Everybody's looking at me. Think about just the empowerment that comes with being disappointed that we still live in a world where people just don't know any better. You can even say on the inside, they always say that shit. I just don't let it bother me anymore. I'm working on me. I'm working on my opinion of me. My opinion of me is changing. My opinion of me matters more than anybody else's. My opinion about my food. I'm going to stay in my lane. I like what I'm doing to lose weight. This is the way I want to live my life. If they don't like it, well, then they don't have to join No BS. I joined No BS. So we're just going to take responsibility for all of it. For all of it. Okay. So think about like the big homework, I think, and the biggest obstacle that y'all are going to run into is words people say to you. That works whether we're in the holidays or any other time of the year. If you take anything from this lesson, here's what I want you to take away from it. People in the world are going to say words to you. And it is up to you to decide internally, who do you want to be in that moment for you? For you. How can I use these words in this moment to love myself harder, be compassionate for myself harder, to look at someone that I want to have a visceral response to and possibly, just maybe, love the person, but not what they say. Love the person, but not how they act. Can I love them because they're a human? I'm going to tell all of you, that's not easy work. Do you know what? Boy, does it give you a better life. A much better life. A much easier life. Okay, I'm going to answer a couple of questions before we go into the three big obstacles. The first one is from Dawn. Since y'all are here, I want to get your questions. On Sunday's call, Corinne described my experience with weight loss exactly. I lost 70 pounds by not paying attention to the fact that I was losing weight, not focusing on success, which makes me anxious and gets in the way. But now in life and weight loss, I'm ready to have goals and focus on success. What are steps I can take to shift my mindset? Well, the first thing is Dawn, is we got to just know, like, let's see. I lost weight, not focusing. Like, why would focusing on success be scary? Like, we got to figure that out for you. Why is, like, if I have goals, why am I so scared? Because usually the reason why we don't want to focus on our future, we don't want to look at goals and stuff, is simply because we have a thought about it. If it triggers a thought like, the second you set a goal, you always fail. Of course, you don't want to set goals. Why would you ever want to set a goal if all you think is it's going to make you fail? If you set a goal and you think, okay, that's where I'm headed, and it makes it easier for me to figure out the small steps I need to take today, you're not threatened by it. If you think about success and you think like shitty thoughts about it, you're not going to want to think about success. So the only thing you have to do is, for all of you, is when it comes to that, is you just have to think about, when I do that thing, when I set a goal, when I think about success, what naturally comes up for me? And you write that down. And you want to really see, because that collection of thinking probably feels very true. But I want to, if you just start with anything, you just look at it and you say, like, no wonder I don't want to set goals. If I think goals mean I have to work hard. If, like, here's a common thought a lot of you have around goals. If I set a goal, then I have to do these things. Like, I just have to start doing these things. No, you don't. You can always set a goal and sit on it for a while. Because whether you have a goal, or I will tell all of you have a goal deep inside of you, or you would not be here. Every single one of you, like, that aren't setting goals, deep down, you're here because you've got one that you just don't want to tell yourself about, because you're afraid if you unearth it, now I have to do this and now I got to do that. Spoiler alert, that goal is deep inside of you. You're already here and you're not doing anything about it. So you ain't got to do shit. So you can always tell yourself, I just want to know what my secret goal is. I want to know what my dreams are. Because until I know what they are, then I can't figure out why I'm not taking steps toward it. Because if I just don't set a goal, that means you don't have any information. But if you do this and you say, I'm going to write down what my secret goal is, and it's going to scare me, and I know it's going to overwhelm me, but that's only because it's triggering all of the thoughts I really need to know in order to get my goal. Because I've got to overcome those. So, like, a lot of times with a goal, like, people will say, like, other than, like, if you think, well, then I have to get serious. Then we want to look at, all right, then what does serious mean? And very often in there is when I coach people, that's where we find a lot of rub. Is, like, what you're defining serious is a nightmare on Elm Street. It's like, it's going to take lots of time. It's like, really? Pushing your plate away takes a lot of time. Stopping at enough takes all that time. Waiting for hunger takes a lot of time. I mean, we ain't food prepping around here. We ain't going to the gym and shit. I don't know where all this time takes. Well, it's the journaling. You have to journal forever. Really? I tell people all the time, write down a few sentences. You ain't got 5 minutes to see what's going on in your brain. You so fucking busy, 5 minutes is out of reach for you in order to get your dreams. Like, this is why we want to do this work. So you can take all the excuses. You can take all the reasons, like, why you think it's going to be so hard. Why is it going to take so much time? And then we just break them down factually. You can do this work and ask coaches, but I've worked this through with several people in this membership. Just look for calls where I say, like, all right, what is, now I got to do the four basics. I always ask, well, what does the four basics mean to you? And then they'll go like, well, water, sleep, doable hunger, planning. Okay. Now, when we say we're going to do doable hunger, what does that mean to you? Because all of you will hear the things I ask you to do. And guess what you do? Inside, it is a very different definition than what I say in the videos. Like, in your mind, I always have to stop it enough. I have never said that. Not one time in my life have I said, in order to lose weight, you always have to stop it enough. I always say the goal is to learn what enough is, and we're going to stop it enough. And if you don't stop it enough, then we find the gold. Now we find the emotional eating, and we're going to work on that. That's what I say. But in y'all's mind, when it's time to get serious, it's like, well, then I have to stop it enough at every meal. And then that is not even the goal. The goal is to stop it enough. And if you're not, is to figure out why enough isn't enough. Because if it's enough for your body, now we're feeding the emotional beast. Or we are just stuck in a habit loop that we have to break. So we want to figure out those things. And that's how you get better at, like, being able to set a goal. So start breaking things down little by little. I have a sister who weighs over 250 pounds. We have never talked about weight loss. I only know that one time our dad said something about her weight and she was not happy about it. I do not know how to mention anything about no BS, any suggestions. I guess I could say something about how it helps me and nothing about how it possibly could talk to her. Carolyn, I just want to know why you want to talk to her about it. If she doesn't want to, why do you feel like you should? Her weight is none of your business. That's just the truth. I know that a lot of us have lovely reasons, and we think that we're going to talk to people about their weight from love. And I guarantee you, Carolyn, that you think it's coming from love, but what it's really coming from is your own desire to feel good. If you're thinking somehow her being 250 pounds is making her miserable or blah, 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 of course we want to go save our sister. But that's so that you can feel like you're doing something. But if she doesn't want it, you're not doing it for her anymore. So this is what I suggest to all of you when it comes to other people. And it comes to even no BS. If you have someone you naturally talk to weight about and someone brings it up, let's say you bust up in there and you're eating in a different way and or you have lost weight and someone says, man, Carolyn, shit, what have you been doing? Last time I saw you, it looks like you've lost some weight, or like, damn, how is it that you're eating rolls and I know that you've lost weight? This is confusing me. Like, how are you having Thanksgiving and it looks like you're losing weight, or I thought you were on some kind of diet? That we can talk about. Now we can say, oh, I'm doing this program and let me tell you about it. Like, one of the things that Corinne believes is that at holidays, if we want to eat, we should just eat. I didn't gain my weight because on Thanksgiving, I overate. I gained my weight because on a random Wednesday, when my boss was a dickhead, I'd go to McDonald's. She's helping me with that stuff. But she also wants me to enjoy normal fucking holidays too. Like that is something all of you could say. So it's like thinking about if you're in a situation where it can naturally come up and you want to share, by all means share. And one of the other things that I would do for all of you is, Mish, if you will drop the free course link into the chat, keep it on your phone in your notes app. If somebody asks what you're doing, say, you know what? I'm going to do even better. My weight loss coach, she actually has three short videos that you could watch that will, if you're interested in losing weight, I will bet you they will help. And you can tell them, like, over a million people have done it. We've had over a million people take that free course, y'all. And it has helped so many people. And just tell them, like, hey, why don't you sign up for that? And then have them get their phone out, go to the website, and watch them sign up for it. Do that. And that will take all the pressure off of you. And then if they ask you more questions and you want to talk about it, you can. But that's like one way to handle it. But I am just a big believer in, I'm not going to talk to people about weight loss who don't want to hear it. If they're not asking me, I'm just going to assume that they're not going to hear it. And there's so many other better things to talk about in life. So for the replay, it is nobsweightloss.com. If you put that in your phone, guess what? You got it. Next question. My husband and I are going out Thanksgiving and spending the night in a hotel. Yeah, Michelle. I wish we were going to a hotel. We really enjoy getting out of town and relaxing. This is my first Thanksgiving on weight loss drugs since starting them last March, and I'm down 60 pounds. I have no problem advocating for myself going out to eat normally because I can scale down what I order, but this will be a fixed several course meal. I've done a lot of work on what others might be thinking about me, but for some reason, this meal is throwing me for a loop. I don't understand what the problem is. Can't you just eat what you want and set aside the stuff you don't? Like, can you tell me in the Q&A what the problem is? Because it sounds pretty simple. I'm going to a place rather than ordering off the menu, there's a prefixed meal. So every time something's presented to me, I get to decide, do I want to eat that or not? And I get to decide how much of it I want to eat and not. And I'm done. Now, some people might think you're like, oh my gosh, you should eat all of it. And like, you can just simply say like, you know what I want to do? I just want to go home feeling good. I don't want to have to explain myself. You're assuming somebody's going to ask. The first thing you told me is, I don't want to deal with what they think. Maybe they're going to be busy eating and no, like, let's just play in the realm of possibility. Nobody fucking says a word. No one cares what you're eating. There's always that. Now, if some, like, you sitting here thinking, I don't want to have to explain myself. We need to know why. Why are you afraid to explain yourself? What is the big deal in saying, I'm just going to tell y'all, I don't like going home feeling stuffed. Hell, if you know what I would say if it was me. Now, you got to have balls, and somebody who might be afraid to explain themselves might not want to say this, but I would totally look at them and say, I know what I'm doing later. I'm going to be having all kinds of sex, and I do really well in sex when I'm not stuffed. And I would look at Chris, I'd go, meow. And then I would just wait for a response. Usually, most people aren't going to say a damn word after that. So for all of you, one of the like disarming techniques I like to use is I like to just drop something that makes it damn hard for someone to have a retort, especially when it comes to food. Now, I know a lot of you probably don't want to do that. I'd die if I witnessed that. Y'all should just hang out with me sometimes. Y'all would find it hilarious. Hilarious. Because I do say shit like that all the time. And just like, if I want to shut a conversation down, I'm like, what is the most outrageous thing I could say right now that's got like everybody else going like, oh, fuck. Like, that came out of nowhere. All right. Let's talk about more obstacles. Michelle said, I love that. And so would my husband. Exactly. Everybody's a winner at the table. Obstacle number one. You never get to eat these foods. Here's some of the other things. So we've covered in depth other people's opinions, other people's words, all the things. Now we want to cover, you never get to eat these foods. So one answer to this is just a signal that you might want, that you could be over dieting to lose weight. You're trying too hard in no BS. Nowhere in no BS do I say, here are the foods you don't get to eat. In no BS, I say, I want you to eat all the foods. And we're going to figure out like how to make them safe and do all those things. But if you're not used to being around them, you just may want to take note of some of these foods and then ask yourself, like, isn't it interesting that I'm going to be around foods that I'm afraid of because I never planned them? I wonder what it would be like to start working on that next in my weight loss journey, like planning for them, having them a little bit more often, getting comfortable with them, learning how to eat them in a way that I could have them more often, have more pleasure and joy, and probably not set myself up for binge and restrict things. So like just even going, like just noticing that when you're around them. The other thing that I would talk about, like that I want to say, if you have not been around these foods in a while, the one thing that I think will help all of you at a big meal is to just remember this. One day of eating for a holiday is fine. If you want to eat whatever you want, I don't care if you eat all the food. There are 365 days of the year. And this is what I really try to implore with y'all during the holidays. If all you did was say on Thanksgiving and at Hanukkah, Christmas, whatever your holidays are, if I just said, you know what, I am going to lose weight this year. And when it's a holiday, I don't plan, I eat what I want. I know it's the other 364 days of the year that matter. Like how you show up on Thanksgiving can give us some indicators of other areas of your life where we need to work on. But I'm going to tell all of you, I want you to really think about this. If in 2025, you ate your face off on New Year's Day, Valentine's Day, your birthday, your anniversary, your kids' birthdays, Christmas, Thanksgiving, Hanukkah, just insert your cultural holiday. 4th of July, I'll give you 4th of July in one vacation. Let's say that that's 30 whole days out of a year. You have 11 months left to make an impact. But most of us don't think of it like that. We get so hung up on being perfect that on these days we overtry or we give up, and Thanksgiving turns into I get back on my diet the following Wednesday because I'm so mad at myself for how I ate on, or I'm ashamed, or I think I did bad on Thursday, that I carry that shit over Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and I get my shit together again on Monday. So one day equals four. And if you did that for the 30, now we're talking 120 days of the year. 25% of the year eating your face off. The problems aren't the holidays. The problems are when you are sitting there catastrophizing and making one thing a big ass problem. So this is how it makes sense. Let's say it's Thanksgiving and you overeat at Thanksgiving dinner. And it's just like me drinking this water. Pretend I spilt water on my shirt. Okay. Now I'm going to do this because I have to go somewhere. Otherwise I just pour this all over me. I drink a little and I spill it on me. Just like you go to Thanksgiving and you overeat. And I'm like, well, fuck. And then I just take the water and I pour it over my head until the bottle's gone. But well, I mean, I spilled some on me. What I need to do now is pour a whole liter of water over my head. Because I messed up. I'm not a good drinker. I stuck, suck. I got a drinking problem. It leaks out my mouth. It makes no sense. And yet you'll go to Thanksgiving and be around food you're not normally around, overeat because you have like a triggered response or something. And you're like, okay, well, then here's what I should do. I'm going to be Pac-Man going down the buffet and I'm going to eat all of it. And guess what? Tomorrow, I'm going to feel really bad when I wake up bloated and I'm going to sit and watch Netflix and just eat candy all day so I don't have to feel sorry for myself. And then the next day, I'm gonna be like, well, I've already blown it. I might as well just start on Monday. And we take one thing and we turn it into a catastrophe. Nobody in this group is overweight because they overeat at Thanksgiving. No one joined No BS because, like, I got a real Thanksgiving problem, Corinne. I mean, once a year I overeat. So I joined your program for an entire year to get me ready for that one meal. Y'all are here because of the after stuff, because of the mental torture you put yourself through, because you aren't planning these foods more regularly. You're here to get over food shame, food fear, food everything. So just decide ahead of time, what do you want to do on Thanksgiving? What is like your like personal, like, you know what? If I didn't have any kind of weird ass rules in my head, if I was going to be relaxed about this, if I was going to go into Thanksgiving thinking I 100% am going to lose all of my weight, then what do I do on that day? For me, I eat the things I like and I skip shit that doesn't matter. If I would like, now I'm going to be real honest. There's no Thanksgiving here at our house. It isn't because of food fear. It's called sheer lazy. This year, Logan wanted to go to his grandmother's house. She wanted him to come over and they're going to watch a movie and they're spending the day together. She has a lot of food allergies and she don't like leaving her house much anymore. And he wants to go over there and hang out with her all day. And he asked, "What is it okay if I go with Nana rather than staying home with you and Spoonie?" And I was like, "Baby, if you want to go hang out with your grandma, go hang out with your grandma. Like, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all. I want my child to be where he wants to be. And he wants to be with his grandma." And I'm just like, oh my God, I don't want to be an asshole and be like, no, you need to be with me. Like, be with your grandmother. I'll be with my cats. And I will be working. And I'll be with your daddy. I will be fine. So he's going there. And then Chris and I, we had like 5 minutes worth of indulging that we were going to cook a meal for ourselves. And then when I put it into ChatGPT and said, give me recipes for this, this, and this, and a grocery list, I was like, ooh, it's like a lot of cooking. That plan got thrown out the window. So we are now going to order Subway today, put it in the refrigerator because we love our Subway, and we're going to work a half a day because we like to work. Y'all know me, I like working, and then we're going to watch Netflix the rest of the day. We are face down in a show called Line of Duty right now from, I don't even know who, I think it might be an Ireland show. I'm not 100% sure where it is. It's called Line of Duty though. It's on Prime. It is so good. It keeps me up at night. Like I end up like binge watching. And then I watch it again with Chris the next day because he goes to bed and nothing keeps me awake, but this show has kept me awake. And then that's all we're doing. We're going to eat Subway in bed, chips, and probably order some cookies from Subway. So make Thanksgiving what you want it to be. And if you, like, if I was at a Thanksgiving meal, I'm not eating a Sister Schubert's roll. I'm not eating anything that I could just get any old time. But if it's special and it's delicious, I'm going to eat it. I probably will eat past enough. I ain't going to make myself sick. And then when I'm done with that meal, I'm not going to beat myself up. I'm going to drink some water and I'm going to get right back on track. Doing shit I know I should be doing to just take care of myself. Like the next day, I'm going to go for a walk. I'm going to drink my coffee in the morning, eat my breakfast, take my vitamins, and get on with my life. If all of you took a more boring outlook on your food life, and I don't mean boring food, but I mean like narrate it. I'm trying to think of someone who would be really boring to narrate. You want to narrate your food life? So boring. You do not want to narrate it as if you are speaking Spanish for a telenovela. And that's what most of you are doing. Yeah, Ben Stein. Be the Ben Stein of your life. Like, turkey, eat mashed potatoes, full, time to wake up, water. Like, if that's all you said, you would not be face down in bullshit all the time. But if you're over there, like Morgan Freeman, like, she thought she was going to eat just turkey, but we all know that was bullshit. The truth is, the mashed potatoes never had a chance with her. Like, y'all are sitting there narrating your food life like a complete asshole. Stop doing that. It's the narration. When you hear Morgan Freeman enter the room, say like, Morgan, get out. Go narrate a love story or a murder series. This, you are not needed. And none of y'all can afford to hire Morgan Freeman to narrate your food life. Maybe you could get a Ben Stein at this point. So be more boring and catch yourself. And the way you catch yourself, you don't even have to hear the words. You will feel it in your body, or you will see yourself doing self-destructive behaviors. If you notice on Friday, you're eating like an asshole, ask yourself, am I narrating like Morgan Freeman? Because if I was being a Ben Stein right now, guess what I would be doing? Eating my yogurt like I normally do. Not eating pumpkin pie because I feel like a fat ass for how I showed up yesterday. Don't do that. You're the one that stops that. So don't even, and don't ask me like, well, how do you do that? You listen and you watch yourself. And when you notice shenanigans, you have to say, I am going to stop doing this. This is not needed. I may be talking to myself like an asshole. I may even be feeling like an asshole. I can either change the narrative to feel better, or I could at least not do bullshit behaviors that I'm going to turn the narrative back on again for tomorrow. That's the two ways that you could stop it. Okay, obstacle. Oh, we got to keep going. Obstacle number two. Sorry. I've never been around these people and I don't know what's going to happen. Okay. We kind of talked about this earlier. That might just be some bullshit we're smelling. You really don't know how they're going to act. Now, if you're around people that you truly don't know how they're going to act, you've never been around them before, guess what? You get to assume nothing's going to happen. And if you can't go there, like I always try to imagine this, or I always try to tell y'all, you are like the worst mind reader ever. Now, a lot of you are sold on the fact that you read minds really well. It's like, no, I know what they're thinking. I know exactly what they're thinking. Really? If you're such a mind reader, I always say, go to Las Vegas. You should be playing blackjack. Because you know what the dealer does? They know what their hole cards are. If you can read their mind, you should be sitting there making bank. And if you're not willing to go to Vegas and gamble away your life savings on your damn mind reading abilities, stop doing it with people, because probably you're wrong most of the time. Very often, y'all think people are thinking about you way more than they really are. It's your own thoughts you're really hearing. Anytime you catch yourself, they're thinking this and they haven't said the words, you need to replace it with, I'm thinking this about me. I'm believing this about me. If you're worried they're thinking that, it's because if they said it, it would confirm what you already believe about you. So that's your key to start working on your thoughts about you, not to sit there and be anxious about what they're thinking. So, first thing is, if you don't know what they are truly thinking, you just say, I don't really know what people are thinking. So anything that I'm afraid of, I need to just accept that's work for me to do on me, because I wouldn't even imagine those thoughts if I didn't already have them. Which means if you're not imagining people are thinking great things about you, guess what? It means you're not thinking great things about you. We only imagine in somebody else's head what we are internally saying over and over again. So if you want to have better thoughts about what other people are thinking, you got to practice on what you're saying on the inside. So the other thing that you can do is you can predict, but you can also just predict people either won't think anything about me because they're too consumed thinking, worried about what other people are thinking about them. Hello. Or you can always just think, maybe they're thinking something positive. I don't have to assume the worst. And then the last one is, if I fuck up, I might as well give up and start back next week. We already talked about that. Don't do that to yourself. If you don't level up anything, if you know you are the type to catastrophize something, make it your goal to get through the holidays with as few fuck it eats as possible. How do I stop dribbling water on my face and then pouring the whole thing over my head? Put that visual in your mind. If you were to get water on spill coffee on your shirt at work, would you just take the whole cup and pour it all over yourself? If you dropped your phone and it didn't break, would you pick it up and slam it against a brick wall to make sure it was broken? Probably not. So when you overeat, don't overeat more to ensure you gain weight. And the last question we have in the Q&A, how do you deal with an asshole that always has to give you their opinion on weight loss and the way they eat and their fucking training schedule and all that bullshit? Well, first of all, they're not an asshole, Natalie. They're sharing, you know what they are? Enthusiastic to share what they're doing. Usually when people are like, that'd be like somebody saying, how do you deal with that asshole, Corinne? I mean, all she does is sit around and like talk about what a great marriage she has. Usually people talk about stuff that they're proud of. If you think they're an asshole, you need to ask yourself why. Why would I assume someone's an asshole because they talk about what they eat and their exercise? Why would I not just think, whoa, they're really enthusiastic about that? Wow, they're very dedicated. Why would you not just think like, I don't give a shit? I mean, like, that sounds hard. Like, think of all the thoughts that you could have about that. Like, so my friend Jane is like literally like in 2 weeks leaving for New Zealand to compete in the World Half Ironman Championships. If you don't think for a moment that every Marco Polo this year has been about her training, what training she's on the way to, what she ate today, how her training's going, how sore she is, how tired she is, how excited she is. Like, that's all she talks about most of the time. Like, I would say 70% of our conversations revolve around her training. And guess what I'm always talking about? Work, my business, how it's doing, what I got to do today, what I don't like doing, what I'm excited to be doing, what I'm proud of, what I'm dreading. Neither one of us think each other's an asshole. So you, Natalie, decide. Like somebody's like, that's awesome for Jane. She's so dedicated. She is. I sometimes, like, I have a whole host of thoughts about her Ironman training because it literally eats up every one of our conversations. If she ain't training for an Ironman, she's training for, trying to qualify for Boston. She's always training. She's on vacation this week, training, on a training vacation. Sometimes I think, that sounds like a shitload of work. I'm glad I don't do those things. Sometimes I think, wow, I wish I had her dedication. Sometimes I think, like, that has got to be difficult for you. Sometimes I think I'm excited for her. I have a lot of thoughts about it. And you, Natalie, get to decide what you want to think in that moment. You can be riled up like they're an asshole. And if that's where you're going, you need to ask yourself, why do I find that so threatening that somebody talks about their health and fitness all the time that I would want to think of them as an asshole? Only so that this is not to shame you at all, so that you don't have to sit there and feel triggered when they're talking about it. They're giving you a gift of you figuring out what is so triggering about somebody who is that into their fitness and stuff. Because a lot of times what that does is it will show you what's truly going on inside of you. And it could be, I'm worried I won't be dedicated enough for me and what I want. I'm worried that that's what it takes in order to have what I want. I'm worried that they think I must be lazy because I don't do all that stuff. That's the power of understanding, why am I so triggered that way? Because we're like, the last thing we're going to be able to do is go to them and say like, hey, I just need to let you know that all that pride and all that obsession you have and all that stuff you've got going on around your fitness and stuff, I need you to not talk about it. It upsets me. It's probably never going to work that way. But if you just listened and you were just like listening, like let them drone on and on and on about it, and you listen to your mind, I wonder why this upsets me. I wonder what goes on inside of me about that, because it can't be about them. Because there are other people in this world who would listen to it and think, wow, they're dedicated. Wow, I wish I was like that. Wow, that sounds tiring. I don't want that. That sounds like too much for me. And I'm happy about that. And some people just think that's interesting. So that's the things that y'all want to think about. So if we don't learn anything today about the holidays, is everything going on outside of you is going to trigger what's going on inside of you. And what's going on inside of you is what we can control. We cannot control the circus, but we can make sure the circus isn't operating inside our own heads and hearts. And if you need help, you've got to ask coaches. You've got the Facebook group. You can always come to these calls. You've got the replays to listen to little things. You got quick hits for those power moments that you need some motivation. You got a lot of things at your disposal to help you. And if at the end of the day, if that's the best thought you've got when you get triggered is, you know what, at least I'm in a program where I have lots of things that can help me, then use that as your power thought. Don't try to sort it all out on your own. Just say, I'm so glad I'm in a program because I notice I'm triggered. I notice I'm doing these things and I want to get that help. And then use this. Where do you find quick hits? You want to go, like we have on the website where the podcasts are, it's a private podcast that's only for our members. So you want to make sure that you are subscribed to it. And those are 20 minute or less little motivational hits and stuff. So you can just, if you go log into your member site, you're just going to look for the podcasts and then you'll be able to download things. We have several, like we have the courses are their own podcast, quick hits, and then calls like this, they're in the replays. They're all there for you too. And if you're newer, you might not have access to quick hits yet. So just for all of you, if you're in within your first 30 days, we purposely don't give you everything at first because we want to keep you focused on the most important things. Then after 30 days, we unlock things for you. And then that way we're trying to like add a little bit at a time so that you just stay focused on what you need. And then as you get that, then you get more stuff because then most people are in a better position to have things layered on top. Okay. That is it for today. I will see all of you Sunday for coaching. Please come if you aren't too busy. It will be at 10 a.m. Make sure you raise your hand. The last couple of weeks, I kind of had to beg, borrow, and steal to get a few of you to raise your hand for coaching. Come prepared so that we can help you. I can help y'all out. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all. Thank you for happy Subway Thanksgiving, Barb. It will be a happy the Subway Thanksgiving. Bye.